Welcome to the Office Space Podcast, where we discuss relevant topics that are affecting occupiers of office space. I'm your host, Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International. And today our guest is Lisa Miller, Director, Product Insights and Applications at HNI Corporations, which is one of the leading global providers of office furniture products. Brands include Allsteel, Hahn, and Gundlach. They also have a Hearth division, which I'll let Lisa discuss. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you do at HNI, and also explain the Hearth division.
Will do. Will do. So I am the Director of Product Insights and Applications for HNI. And as was mentioned, HNI is actually our parent company. So we have several operating companies that fall within that, including, as mentioned, Gundlach, Allsteel, Hahn, HBF, and HBF Fabrics. And then also there's a hearth category, which is really hearth and home is a fireplace, a collection of fireplace manufacturers. So chances are you may actually even have one of our products in your home and you didn't know it. So we hope so. but basically what my role is I am a liaison between designers and occupiers in their journey of their space exploration. I am kind of that person that's listening and learning and doing research on what the potential gaps are from a product perspective. And then I work directly with our product development teams across the brands to help design and innovate new and creative solutions.
And would you consider yourself kind of a futurist? I mean, you have to follow the trends and look ahead. Do you spend a lot of time looking at the future, and how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I like to think of us as we are, people don't necessarily look at us as bleeding edge. I think we're more leading edge in that we're always trying to innovate and be very relevant. I think we all as manufacturers can design beautiful objects, but what our goal anyway is to design really meaningful products that actually solve something for our clients. So, but in order to do that, certainly we need to be up on the trends, and that's through, you name it, a variety of research initiatives we take on through our partnerships with various organizations, our participation in many different both local, global, and international organizations. And many of us are teachers as well. I have been an adjunct professor for 4 years as an example of how we try to stay relevant and what's going on in the design community.
Can you teach with a Zoom call?
That is a great question. Well, lately I will tell you we've been trending on Teams. So I'd probably feel more comfortable with Teams. And I understand it's a bit more secure. So not to knock Zoom. I've had some great engagements with Zoom as well. But yes, aren't we all becoming just figuring out all the nuances of the different platforms?
Never. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
So what are your clients telling you right now, or what are you hearing from your clients that is relevant and you guys are addressing?
Yeah, so, not a simple answer. I'd say it's a very broad spectrum that we're experiencing right now, as you can imagine. So, and it changes. I mean, it's changing every day, if not by the hour sometimes. When it was roughly around March 15th and the world forever changed for all of us, I would say those immediate weeks, days and weeks following the, stay at home efforts put in place, we were getting a lot of requests around immediate solutions, product solutions. They were very focused on, what people were seeing in their grocery stores, such as a plexiglass screen or a divider. And I don't want to say fear-based, but we can almost say that, right? It was quite reactionary in a way to say, what can we do and what can we do now? So, you know, a couple efforts started happening on behalf of us as manufacturers. You know, on the strategy side, first of all, we said, you know, we will push through some product development. We can do that all day long. But we're also going to be working really hard to understand what are some of the longer term strategies. You know, how are we looking at, let's understand, first of all, how this remote work thing is actually happening. Because I, you know, I think we can all agree that there's pros and cons to it. But for an entire community, the world at large, immediately going to working from home overnight, I think we're all surprised that people are still being effective. Now, do we all have some challenges? Certainly. It's not easy for everyone. It's different for everyone, but people are still getting work done. So that realization, I think it started to interrupt the immediate requests for, I need to put tall screens in, or I need to do this or that. And it started to say, let's take a breath and let's think longer term. Let's think about what could we do from a signage perspective, from a protocol perspective, from a path of travel. How can we make sure people feel safe as they come back? So that then, I think, kind of bought us all some time. Our clients had an opportunity to say, you know, we meet them where they are, first of all. You know, we can't, with each engagement, I think for all of us, it's, you know, okay, where are you at right now? Are you in a wait and see pattern? Are you in a, I need to do something immediate? Many clients that I've been talking with are holding till 2021 to have a return to workplace 100%. So, and you know, it doesn't apply to every industry, every profession, certainly, but that's what a lot of our clients are doing. So definitely a huge spectrum of activities, from studying, pricing scenarios, screening solutions, helping with protocols and signage, to full-blown modular social distanced anticipation for the future kind of conversations all going on.
And in your lab or wherever, well, let me ask you this. I mean, when you normally collaborate and come up with these ideas, is it normally in person, or have you is your organization such that you collaborate virtually and have been used to that? Is that affecting how you are coming up with, you know, creative solutions?
It absolutely is. We use many technology platforms, but the one that we're just increasingly getting much more buy-in and uptick in is a program called CET. And CET is a software that, you know, touts that you can go from initial conception all the way through to order. And so, but the real value is what we call live design. And I would say we're doing a lot more of these virtual, if you will, get the client on a Zoom call. We pull up CET. We have
Or Teams.
Don't forget about Teams. And we have them on screen with us. And they see their existing floor plan, and we talk through what their concerns are. And then the designer is actually manipulating it in real time, stretching things, making it taller, adding a screen, spacing things apart. What does it look like when you're in a standard position versus seated? You know, so it's really an amazing tool to kind of compress decision making. But in times of anxiety, I think any sort of visualization tool that can help the client see what we can see in our heads is a bonus.
Okay. And from the long-term perspective, with clients not really making any decisions until sometime in 21, what are you doing to address, and maybe you're just monitoring it and not addressing it yet, but the longer term effects of all of this on working from home and the actual design within the space? Are there new products that you're coming up with right now that you feel have longevity and will address some of these concerns and whatever those concerns might be moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I am a true believer that we, you know, H&I was founded as an RCI, Rapid Continuous Improvement Foundation. And we continue to do that with our product development. We have a very agile process and kind of a little fun word we use. There's part of RCI process called Pokeyoke. I don't know if you've heard of that word.
Pokeyoke? How do you spell it?
P-O-K. K-A-Y-O-L-K.
Okay, no, I definitely have not heard. Okay.
Yeah, not something you hear every day, but it's really simple. It basically means mistake proofing. So we think of it this way. If you fly in an airplane, whenever we get to do that again or want to do that again, you know, ideally the pilot and the co-pilot are eating a different meal in case one were to get sick from the food, the other one is okay, right? So you're building in measures. That's a very simple example, but we try to integrate that into our design philosophy. And so let's design things. We've always had the notion, ideally you get a 2-for-1 out of something, right? But with COVID, I think we almost are going for a 3-for-1. And I'll just use a product as an example. A couple of years ago, we introduced a planter into the workplace. And a lot of that was based on a lot of discussions around sustainability and introducing biophilia into the workplace and great research saying why that was a good thing to do. Well, we thought it was cool and, you know, why not? So we designed these planters and, oh, by the way, they were also a storage piece if you didn't want to put a plant. And then, oh, it also created corridors or could define space division. Well, so COVID happened and we started getting calls for hand sanitizer stations. Can you clip them onto the walls and the workstations and just, you know, having these cleaning stations mounted throughout. And so what we've been doing is converting these planter stations into, it's something that the client already had, or if they were to buy it, they could use it for this period of time and then they could convert it back. I think we've always wanted to do things like that versus, I'll give you the opposite example. I had a salesperson call me and say, okay, my client doesn't want to remove every other chair to comply with 6-foot social distancing, but they don't want to pay for storage because, you know, who wants to rent a trailer to store product that they're not using, right? Makes no sense. So they didn't even have any place. So could you also, would you make chair covers that would go over the chairs? And I, you know, I thought, oh my, this is kind of odd. And, you know, like a jacket for the chair. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
what do you do with it afterwards? Or what if someone thinks the jacket means the chair is clean?
So was that just for aesthetic?
No, it was literally meant, you know, the question was, would we do that to omit people from, you know, avoid people from sitting in those chairs so they could stay in place, right? So we came back with just simple bands that are, you know, you can get 10 of them for $10. So, you know, who wants to buy a stitched seat cushion cover? And we have how many different varieties of chairs and does it have to be fitted? And, you know, and we said, you know, this is not a revenue generating thing. This is about people getting through COVID in a really functional, meaningful way. So, you know, there's simple ways to think about them. And hopefully we're not all designing a bunch of plexiglass screens that will end up going into a landfill. We certainly don't want to do that. So we want to think about providing solutions that, you know, have some longevity to them and, you know, are good looking at the same time and cost effective.
So is it fair to say this is true across your competitors as well, that no one necessarily is kind of having a knee-jerk reaction to this and going, you know, full scale on all kinds of plexiglass systems and things like that, but they're really addressing things in a creative fashion, like you just described with the planter and the chair covers or the chair band?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak for all the competition. I believe, you know, we all have very similar clients and certainly we want to be responsive to our clients. So I would say we as an industry have had to accommodate those requests. And while we might suggest, you know, would you consider glass in that it's, you know, it's easier to clean, it won't scratch, it has a more substantial you know, presence to it, and then it can maintain, it would stay in the space and have a purpose versus, you know, the association with plexiglass. Do you want it to feel like you're in a grocery store? You know, so I believe that manufacturers in whole are coming up with all kinds of responses to a variety of different needs, whether that's a divider, whether it's a wall solution, you know, whether it's bleach cleanable fabrics, evolving our material choices. I think we are, as an industry, all working very hard on all those things.
Have you had any clients come to you and suggest that the home office that their clients, that their employees are utilizing match the environment to some degree that they have in their office to create continuity or anything like that? Or, you know, most of the companies I work with, you know, they'll provide some kind of an allowance in some cases at most to set up the home office. But mm-hmm. have you come across any companies that really support the work from home? I mean, if it's 100% work from home, are they providing an allowance? Are they providing the furniture? What's your experience with that?
Yep. There again, it's kind of all over the board. A couple, you know, I can go back to my days at the medical device company. You know, we had a long, you know, strategy around work from home. It presents some challenges, right? Like, okay, who owns the furniture? Do you get taxed on the furniture? You know, how is that asset written off? What happens when the employee leaves? Logistically, I live in the 10th floor of a downtown apartment. How do I get furniture up there? You know, who the liability? So there's a lot of challenges back then. And I'm going to say that's 10 years ago, right? So then COVID, I would say what we're seeing is clients will give a stipend or an allowance to help support, you know, maybe it goes towards a more ergonomic chair, I would say is number one request. Number two would be a height adjustable table. Those are two. And then, okay, you go down the line. Lovely to have monitor arms, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't, to your original question, I haven't really seen it be as much about it having to have a brand essence to feel as an extension of their core office. I think the stipend to me expresses, we want you to be safe. We want you to be comfortable and productive, but we're going to give you a stipend so you can actually choose something that either fits with your, you know, eclectic style of your home or your environment more than matching, you know, maybe what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, that does make sense. And, it would seemingly be, I think, quite all the considerations you mentioned, the challenges with providing it full scale to companies. But, you know, you hear about certain companies that have decided to do 100% work from home. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they're addressing it, and especially with the variety of homes and workspaces that people have. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be a huge growth area. And even if it's not 100% work from home, but what do you do if you're 80% work from home? You know, we're going to have to see some improvements for offerings. Where we're addressing that in one way, we're certainly upping our technology solutions. So much more, you know, visualization tools, 3D room planners. So anyone, you know, you don't need to have a design background. It's, you know, I can go pull up an app, plug in my room dimension, and then I can pull in a table, a chair, I can pick some fabrics, things like that. So I could get a quick visual and a quick understanding of pricing. So we're definitely working on those tools to help with streamlining that process. I think my biggest question for companies is, when people are going to be split, say you can work from home half the time and go in the office, you know, people have gotten used to dual monitors or say the large 36-inch wide panoramic. We have a lot of our engineers that have these, you know, they're on these large screens. You know, you have that set up at one place or the other. Now the other place is, you know, you're less effective. So
right.
If you're a laptop user, great, because you can kind of go on the fly wherever you go, right? But so I think that's going to be an interesting question to see if the technology budgets from organizations will allow some more duplicate equipment, which is a huge, huge expense.
It is. It is. yeah. It is a huge expense. And there's, you know, an old concept of, you know, as a CFO, the easiest way to get fired is overspend on your IT budget.
Right. Exactly.
So looking at a crystal ball, let's say 1 year from now and 3 years from now, how is the office furniture community going to look, and what are offices going to look like?
Oh, if I only had that crystal ball, right?
This is being recorded, so everything you
This is
say
being
will be
re
a moment in time.
I know, this is nervous now. I would say, to look forward, we have to just look to our past for a moment. And I would say, for a long time now, we have been incredibly focused on compression and utilization, which, in my mind, was too much about efficiency and maybe not enough about effectiveness. Not to say there aren't great spaces and we need to have these, spacious, huge areas, but I think that when we all go back, I'm hoping we go back with a colleague of mine says this so eloquently. She says with grace and gratitude, and I love that because as we said at the beginning of this conversation, I will be grateful to go back and actually be feel part of my larger community. So I'm looking forward to that. And I have gratitude that, the workplace is incredibly important. And I think we all can agree that face-to-face collaboration is king. I mean, to me, that is the ideal. Now we can make it work. We making it work every day, right? For since March. But to truly enjoy the benefits of it, I believe the office of the future is one that will be a destination. It'll be a place you want to go. And this may be a little Pollyanna on my perspective, but I see it more as a part of a larger ecosystem. And the way I describe that is, Target headquarters based here in Minneapolis, they used to have, I don't know if they still do, but they, when the whole dress code and Casual Friday, came out, Target's mantra was dress for your day. You're an adult. If you have a meeting, wear something you'd wear to a meeting. If you don't, you can be wearing jeans and a little more casual. Always still professional, but dress for your day. I kind of wonder if there isn't a, work where your day takes you. If I'm just going to be on conference calls all day, do I need to do an hour commute both ways? Or am I best served in my office doing that? Or do I have kids at home and, a significant other? So I need to go to that third place. And I know you've had some talks already around co-working, and I'm just so interested to see where co-working goes. But I have been reading a lot more about these more satellite locations potentially popping up that because people have gotten so used to their short commute from, say, their bedroom to the kitchen, to the coffee maker, and to the kitchen table, to have a space that maybe isn't going into a downtown area, but could be more, some smaller satellite locations. So that again is part of the ecosystem. So now we have our home, we have the office, and then we have those in between spaces. I think that's what the future will be.
Well, I think you're right. I agree
Good.
100%. And I like the dress for your day concept applying to work for your day, because I think there's a lot of value to that. And so that'll be good.
Good.
Well, this has been insightful. You are definitely your title is how should I say applicable to the insightful conversation we've had.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the questions, and I appreciate being part of your series, and look forward to hearing which ones you've got coming down the pike.
All right. And then a year from now, we'll check in and go back and see how we did.
We'll pull up the transcript, and if I'm wrong, then we'll have that discussion then. How's that?
Sounds great. All right. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate
All
it.
right. Hey,
Bye-bye.
be safe. Have a great day. Bye-bye.